Amen. Go ahead and please see it. Let's make sure we got this. You guys can hear me okay? All right. Well, it's good to see everybody. Been quite a crazy weekend. For those of you, of course, I actually believe we have two tornadoes that happened. And so it's interesting. I was driving home on Friday night. Eric had fallen down a few stairs, so took him to the doctor, get checked out. Everything's okay. We're driving home. This is around 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon. And all of a sudden, we're driving. Eric's like, Daddy, look up in the sky. And I was like, yeah, it's going to rain. So we're driving, and no one's driving towards Hunt Club in Greenbank. So we're on Hunt Club. We're driving. We're like, you know what? We should probably head south instead of heading towards Greenbank, only to find out there were some power lines that went down not too long afterwards. And so we get home. We're like, okay, great. We beat the storm. Let's just put some pizza in the oven. We're going to have a nice family movie night. And all will be good. Put the pizza in the oven. The power goes out. And then we're like, okay, you know what? Usually this happens. The power would be back on in no time. Lo and behold, day later, the next day, we're like, still no power. Okay, no, it'll probably be coming soon. So all of a sudden, we're like, okay, now we need to get some things. We need some batteries. We need some water because people are saying it could be days. So we're trying to get out of Barhaven. It's like back-to-back traffic. We're like, you know what? This is not going to work. Let's wait until traffic dies down. So later on in the evening, we're like, okay, you know what? I'm sure at some point it's going to come on. So then in the evening time, Eric and I go out for a little drive. We're like, look down the street. Two blocks, we see light. And we're like, okay, you know what? The lights are on in those homes. Power is about to come on. So we get home. I tell Karen, I think power is going to be on in no time. So it's around 8 o'clock at night. And I'm like, okay, you know what? Need to have faith. It's coming on tonight. So Karen's like, so what are we going to do? I told Karen, don't worry. At 10 o'clock, the power is coming back on. And Karen's like, but what if it doesn't? I was like, we need to have faith. Believe that the power is going to come on. So now we're thinking about, what about tomorrow morning? We don't have to worry about tomorrow morning. The power is coming on tonight. So we're like, okay, you know what? The power didn't come on at 10 o'clock. I'm going to bed going, God, I hope the power comes on in the morning. Wake up in the morning, still no power. I'm looking at Karen going, you know what? Let's figure something out. Okay, so you go to their house, get ready. I'll go to Francis's house, I'll get ready. And so unfortunately, we're still without power. Which is unfortunate, but you know, it's quite an eventful time. You realize what things you can do without and what things you really need. And one of the things I found was, I think about Paul. Paul mentioned that if I have food and clothing, I'll be content with that. And I realized I'm not there yet. I realized there are certain things that we enjoy having, but when all said and done, we've been coping well. We've been adjusting different things. But nonetheless, we're in good spirits. Good to be here with each and every one of you here this morning. I want to show... it's already there. This is something that we had the opportunity to do in the summer. Carrie, myself, and Eric, we flew to Winnipeg. And we were asked to do a Hope Youth Corps summer camp. And so we had a lot of fun. Learned a lot of different lessons. These are you probably can't see too clear, but these are about 24 volunteers who came in from around the world, majority of them from the U.S., and pretty much we were responsible for overseeing the camp. The theme was called In His Steps. And so the camp that we were organizing was a summer camp, and it was a summer camp for kids in family services. And so these kids come from a very different backgrounds. They have different family challenges, different upbringing, whether it be experiencing loneliness, rejection, being labeled, fearful situations. As we had an opportunity to provide a two-week camp for them, just so that they can get away from a lot of the family drama, just so that they can be able to have some fun, an opportunity for us to just love up on them and just love them like Jesus did, because of course that was the theme of the camp. And when we think about the example of Jesus, you know, Jesus loved them. Jesus loved people with no restrictions. He had no agenda. He just simply loved without judging and without analyzing people's situation. And so because Jesus loved all kinds of people, he loved in all different ways, and that was the opportunity we had to just go and love these kids, provide some fun for them. So we did that, and what an impact it had on the workers, but also especially on the kids. When all said and done, the kids came into the camp guarded. They came in just, you know, obviously based on their circumstances, guarded, the barriers up. And when camp went on, you could see their faces starting to beam, them starting to be excited. But then, unfortunately, when the camp ended because it needed to, you know, you could see that they were in tears. They were very sad. And us, even us as the workers, we were in tears because we wished the camp could go much longer, but unfortunately was not able to. But one thing we learned, it really stretched all of us. From what some of the workers mentioned, they said that this camp was the most intense. It was the busiest camp in terms of the amount of energy that we needed to exert into allowing these kids to have fun. You know, it challenged me to the core, and it challenged me to give and give beyond what I thought I was capable of giving. So we'd go out and we'd leave it early in the morning, come back just exhausted to the point we were going to bed at 9 o'clock at night, getting up early morning because we were just so tired from expending ourselves. And the one thing that was very clear at the very end of the camp, it was very clear that it was more blessed to give than to receive because of what it did for them, but also what it did for us as the camp counselors and workers as well. But today, I know we're running a little bit behind, so you know we'll share more about Hope Youth Corps and how exciting it was at a later date in more detail. But what I want to do, I want to show a video. It's a story behind the song, It Is Well With My Soul. You know, there's a lot that's happened just over the last 48 hours, maybe 72 hours. But there's a lot that happens in life that I do believe what's important is that whatever it is that we face, that we have a spiritual perspective with what we do go through. If I can have someone turn off the lights. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Father, we do just thank you so much for this opportunity to be here this morning. God, we thank you so much for the ways that you bless us, watch over us, care for us. And Father, we know that even as you do that, Father, there are different things that, Father, do come our way, different unfavorable circumstances, challenges. But God, we thank you that you're there for us in good times and in the tough times. And Father, as we come here this morning, Father, I pray that you allow each of our hearts to be open to your word, that, Father, we'll allow your word to speak to us, so that, Father, we can be encouraged, whether it be challenged, inspired. Father, for whatever it is that we need here this morning, Father, I pray that your spirit would really work through your word to really meet each and every one of our needs here today. Father, please help us that whatever happens in our life, help us to remember as disciples that, Father, we are blessed in such an incredible way. And help us, Father, to always have a spiritual perspective, Father, in the good times and the tough times, Father, because we can put our hope and our trust in you. Father, thank you so much. We're able to be here today. Again, please work through me as I preach your word here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, you think about this situation, you know, it is very difficult to even comprehend. You know, if you think about this wife and this husband, they lost their only son. Then months later, all of his savings. And then eventually they lost their four daughters. And so while sailing near the place of his daughter's death, that's where he wrote, "It is well with my soul." You know, but then their journey continued where they went about serving, meeting different needs. You know, they could have used that as a reason to hold back, as I know I would if something like that happened, have lots of different questions to understand why would such a thing happen. But you know, but they continued in faith in some very difficult, challenging, tragic times. You know, I want to share with us some few thoughts here this morning from Ephesians chapter 1, if you turn there, about having a spiritual perspective. And I'm going to be reading from a New Living Translation. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1 says, "This is a letter from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. I'm writing to God's holy people in Ephesus who are faithful followers of Jesus Christ. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave us our sins. He has shown his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. God's purpose was that we Jews, who were the first to trust in Christ, would bring praise and glory to God. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. When you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so that we would praise and glorify him. Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I've not stopped thanking God for you." Oops. "I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms." You know, all we can say is, wow. You know, that's why it's called spiritual blessings in Christ. You know, when we think about what Paul had to talk about, at this time, in Ephesians chapter 6, it says that I'm in chains now, still preaching this message at God's ambassador. You know, I know that Marty talked about the book of Ephesians in the summer. So I wanted to focus more on chapter 1. Because I do believe, as Paul wrote the book of Ephesians, and as he started off other letters, he wrote to the disciples, helping them understand who they are. And then he talked about all the different things we need to do as disciples. And I do believe that if we fully grasp who we are as disciples, if we fully grasp what we have in Christ, you know, I do believe the rest will follow. And I was what Paul was reminding them that, you know what? That here he is in chains. But you read about Paul, Paul lived a very blessed life. A life that was not dependent on circumstances. A life that was dependent on God. And he was under arrest as a prisoner of the Roman government. And Paul looked at his life in a completely different light. And I believe that this is the key to being an overcomer in our life. that what God had done in Paul's life was so great, it became the driving force in his life. Paul could have fallen into self-pity over his chains and his confinement, but he refused to see himself as a victim of Rome, but instead as a possession of Christ. And Christ shaped Paul's life, and nothing could ruin it. No unfavorable circumstance could ruin what Paul had, because he had the spiritual blessings in Christ. You know, whatever may be happening to us externally, who we are in Christ has not changed. Whatever was happening in our life prior to the tornadoes that happened on Friday, our identity in Christ has not changed. And even after everything that happened, our identity in Christ is still the same. And so Paul begins his book of Ephesians by giving praise to God for the blessings that we have in Christ and also who we are. Paul understood that what goes on in the world and what is true also in the heavenly realms. You know, it can be so easy to focus on the here and now. Especially you think about the last 48 hours. You know, it's so easy to focus on the here and now. You know, there are times there are things you do need to focus on. You know, we had to focus on getting food because that's something very important. We had to focus on so many other things. But it's so easy to get sidetracked and to solely focus on the here and now and to not focus on the spiritual. You know, there's a song from Prince of Egypt. It's called Through Heaven's Eyes. It says, so how can you see what your life is worth or where your value lies? You can never see through the eyes of man. You must look at your life, through heaven's eyes. You know, what's important is that we look at our life through heaven's eyes. That we have a spiritual perspective. And I do believe when we have a spiritual perspective, we can look at whatever happens in our life in a very different way. You know, you think about the words, it says, look at your life through heaven's eyes. That you'll never see the value of your life unless you look at it through heaven's eyes. You know, you think about just in life. You know, we're told that our value comes from how people treat us. Our value comes from success. That if you're successful, somehow you're more important than someone who's unsuccessful. Sometimes our value is based on positions that we have, our role, influence, power. But when we read through the scriptures, it's important to look at our life and our value through heaven's eyes. And that is through God's eyes. That our value does not come from something that we possess, does not come from any title that we have. Our value comes from God. It comes from being a child of God. And it says here that Paul talked about having every spiritual blessing in Christ. He talked about how we are united in Christ. Talked about how because of God's love in verse 4, he chose us to be holy and without fault in his eyes. And that's amazing when we think about God. That when God chose us, he didn't choose us because of our intellect, didn't choose us because of our good looks, didn't choose us because of our success or not having success. God just simply chose us. You know, you do see that whether it be in sports. You know, you think about growing up, if you were ever asked to play a sport, and they pick two captains. So the one captain will pick somebody. And usually, the person who has the first pick will pick the person who is the most talented. Unless you know the captain. So the captain might say, you know what? You may not be as talented, but you know what? Because you're my friend, or because you're my sibling, I'm going to pick you. But typically, that's not how the world goes. You know, the world chooses the best. But when it comes to our lives as disciples, we didn't earn our spot in God's family. God chose us, and He adopted us into His family. You know, one of the other things it talks about is that God adopted us, and it gave Him great pleasure. You know, it's no surprise to all of us that, as we've mentioned, that, you know, my wife and I, we adopted a young little boy at the back there, Eric, about 6 years ago. You know, it's amazing how time flies. And we remember 6 years ago when he was only 15 months and adopting him. And we've been married almost 22 years. And I remember thinking about, in our first year of marriage, we're always thinking, you know what, at some point, we would like to adopt a child. And, you know, God has a way of working things out very differently. But I remember thinking at that time, you know, we want to be able to adopt a child. Thinking that, you know what, we want to adopt a child to provide a home for some child. And it's amazing when we adopted Eric, that it was more than just providing a home for him. And when I think about this scripture where it talks about God adopted us and it gave him great pleasure. And we have such a wonderful boy that does bring us great pleasure. It's amazing to think about, you know, how we've influenced him, but also how he has brought great pleasure to our life. Now, some people say, wow, he's the perfect boy. He's not the perfect boy. You know, he has a character just like everybody else. You know, but whether it be through, you know, challenging times, he brings us great pleasure. And I say that because when I think about, again, this was coming up in Thanksgiving weekend would be 6 years. But also think about at the end of October, I also think about how in 1990, 28 years ago, is when I became a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I think about when God adopted me into his family. When I was baptized, had all my sins forgiven, and I was added to God's family. You know, that is amazing. It's as clear as day when I think about it. Waking up, you know, saying Jesus is Lord, going to bed, all my sins forgiven, and having the most peaceful sleep I've ever had in my life. Because I was adopted into God's family. And I like to think in each and every day that weaknesses, sin and all, that God still feels the same way about me when I was adopted into his family. And I think at times it's important to remember that we became a disciple, that it brought God great pleasure, seeing someone added to his family. But I think what's important for us to always remember is that the heart of God does not change. That I do believe that whatever it is that we go through, we need to look and think that, you know what, I may be going through a hard time, but I still bring pleasure to God's heart because I'm either his son or his daughter. You know, it also talks about grace being poured out on us. It talks about glorious grace, the riches of God's grace. It talks about lavish grace when you read the scriptures. You know, what is grace? Grace is the ultimate expression of God's love by sacrificing Jesus while we were sinners. Grace is the idea that those who deserve nothing are treated as if they deserve everything. That is grace. That God does not treat us as our sins deserve. Amen to that? That God treats us not like our sins deserve, but he treats us as if we deserve everything. You know, his grace allows us to be blameless, without accusation in his sight. And it is by grace that we are saved. We did nothing to earn our spot. But it's because of God's grace, that is why we are saved. When we get in touch with our own sinfulness, we will marvel at God's grace. To understand God's grace the way we need to understand God's grace, we also need to grow in understanding who we are in our sinfulness. We cannot understand God's grace without understanding our own sinfulness before God. Seeing our sin, we're able to see God's grace, and we're able to marvel at God's grace in our lives. And as we experience and marvel at God's grace, we're able to be motivated by grace. You know, you read through Ephesians chapters 2 to 6, and it talks about, you know, stay away from this, stay away from that. When we understand God's grace, that'll motivate us to go and do this or do that. We won't have someone having to tell us, you know what, come on guys, we need to do this. We'll simply be motivated by the grace of God. Because when we think about Paul, what motivated Paul? The grace of God. What teaches us to say no to sin? The grace of God. What teaches us to treat others with grace? The grace of God. When we understand the grace of God, it will do wonders in our own life, how we are towards God, how we are towards sin, and also how we relate and treat one another. It also talks about freedom and purchased by the blood of Jesus. Showered his riches, his kindness on us. You know, that is something we need to count each day, is the ways that God displays his kindness. You know, whenever I go for a prayer walk, I like to just stop and look at the ways that God shows his kindness. Whether it be in the warm weather, whether it be in the cool weather, to look at how God displays his kindness in so many different ways. You know, because we are united with Christ, it talks about we have received an inheritance from God. Also talks about how God works out everything according to his plan and also according to his will. You know, we need to understand that God works out everything. That God can take an unfavorable situation and use that situation for good. You know, we don't understand why everything happens. But God can take a very difficult situation and turn it into something great. God can turn our mess into a powerful message. Whatever test that we go through, God can turn it into a powerful testimony. And God can take all these things and use it for some good. You know, I think about the wife in the movie. Not in the movie, in the video I showed. Lost her four daughters. And she remembered hearing different things. And one of the things she remembered hearing that was able to stay with her was that she remembered a couple things that, you know what, I was saved for a purpose. You know, she looked, of course, it would have been very difficult for her to have lost her daughters. But she remembered some words saying how, you know what, I believe I was saved for a purpose. And also, she also remembered another phrase that, should I only be grateful for the good? And she remembered saying, if I'm only grateful for the good, I would be a fair weather friend to God. You know, that itself should bring perspective. That in all of that difficult situation, she was able to look and go, you know what? I was saved for a purpose. In all of our situations, we need to look through it through heaven's eyes. To think, you know what? Everything that happened, it happened for a reason. We may not understand the why, but to understand, you know what? There's some reason it happened. And to realize that, you know what? God is sovereign. God is in control of everything. And he can take this situation and do some good in this situation. I remember reading where it said, God works from an eternal agenda, not a weekly planner. That God works from an eternal agenda, not a weekly planner. And so we can look at things and go, well, you know what, this week wasn't quite the week I wanted it to be. But we've got to understand that God looks at things from an eternal agenda. And to try to have some eternal perspective in the big scale of things. You know, it talks about also the seal of ownership. That God has given us the Holy Spirit as a seal of ownership. You know, in 2017, you know, some of us went over to watch, went over to the Richards house to watch the Super Bowl. And it was the New England Patriots and the Atlanta Falcons. And, you know, if you know Michael Richards, he's a New England's fan. And they were just getting beat so bad. And I remember thinking at halftime, you know what? This game is all but done. Only to find out, I was like, oh, you know what? But you know what? Because I'm here, I'm hanging out with a friend, let me stay to watch the whole game. Lo and behold, it turned out to be one of the, if not, the greatest comebacks in football history. And I remember telling Michael, you know, if anyone's able to do it, it's Tom Brady. If any quarterback's able to bring a team back from such a deficit, then it's Tom Brady. So we watched, only to be stunned at the very end. And for those of you who may not know, that jersey went missing shortly after. And so people are like, what happened to this jersey? This jersey is going to be worth a lot. And so eventually the jersey was found. And his jersey was sold. Take a guess how much the jersey went for. Well, maybe not quite. Jersey went for $500,000. $500,000. You know, you think about in the same year, 2017, the Golden State Warriors. Steph Curry, his Game 3 jersey of the 2017 Finals, went for $135,000. Hey, I'm great. I love watching basketball, love watching football, but there is no way, well, one, I can't afford it, but nonetheless, we can afford it to buy a jersey that costs so much seems unheard of. You could buy a jersey that looks like that same Tom Brady jersey, that looks like that same Steph Curry jersey for less than $100. But you know what made these jerseys so valuable? It's because of who it belonged to. It was because of who it belonged to. You can buy one from the store, from anywhere, but it had such a high price tag to it because the jersey belonged to Tom Brady or it belonged to Steph Curry. That's why those jerseys were of such great value. You know, you think about yourself as a disciple of Jesus Christ. You know, we belong to God. You know, we are children of God, and we must never forget how valuable we are in the sight of God. And when you think about when something is valuable, you know, you think about in Matthew chapter 6, as Kunle talked about last week, you know, why should we worry? Why should we have so little faith? Are we not more valuable than the birds of the air and the lilies of the field? The answer to that is yes. And if God can take care of the universe, if God can sustain his universe, God will take care of us because we are valuable in his sight and because we are children of God. You know, it talks about an inheritance. You know, I don't have time to talk about the inheritance that awaits us as we remain faithful to the very end as disciples. But Paul does pray that their eyes will be opened to the Christian hope that they have, to know the hope and inheritance that they have as disciples of Jesus Christ. You know, again, it's easy to simply focus on the temporal. But I do believe what's important is that we need to look at life through heaven's eyes and remember that we have such a rich inheritance waiting for us as disciples of Jesus Christ. We just need to stay faithful to the very end. And Paul also prays that they'll understand the greatness of God's power for us who believe. The same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. The same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead is the Spirit of God that lives inside of us. I want to say that again. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that lives inside of us because of God's Spirit. And that power that lives inside of us enables us to be more than conquerors in our life. You know, that's why as disciples, we should never walk around as disciples making excuses for why we can't change something. You know, you think when people make excuses about why I can't change this, why I can't change that, we got to understand that God's power that lives inside of us enables us to be more than conquerors. That we don't have to be enslaved to some particular sin. We don't have to approach a situation like the world approaches a situation where they look at a situation, you know what? I'm defeated. We can approach a situation knowing that, you know what? Because of God's Spirit inside of me, I am more than a conqueror. That what lives inside of me is greater than what's outside. And so that's why it's important is that we be stronger than any excuses. Because we are more than conquerors in our life. You know, we all face, in our present day, unfavorable circumstances. You know, what is important is that we look at life through heaven's eyes. You know, no matter what happens in our life, no matter what happened over this last weekend, you know, of course, there are different things, and people did experience a lot of different things, and my goal is not to minimize what people go through. But my goal is to help us understand that whatever we go through, whether it be an unfavorable situation, whether it be a tragedy, that we are more than conquerors because of God living inside of us. That no matter what happens, we must never forget, you know, that we are adopted, we are loved, we are accepted, we are redeemed, we are forgiven, we are enlightened, we have an inheritance, we are sealed, we are assured, and we will receive a rich inheritance as we remain faithful to the very end. And I do hope that as a disciple, that we really take Paul's words to heart, that, you know, that whatever happens our way, as disciples, that, you know, we are more than conquerors. But what's important is we look through life through heaven's eyes, and that we have a spiritual perspective. Amen. I hope that you all have a great week. God bless.